Вариант 9.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I enjoy cooking because it is just me and my food. There is no one to argue with over what ingredients to use. I'm only stopped by my imagination. I just like making good food and having people appreciate it. It makes the house smell yummy and it gets the family to gather around the table and enjoy the meal. I especially love it when they're smiling, which is a good sign. And if I'm feeling down, I either cook or bake something, and that makes me forget about my worries and makes me feel better.
Speaker B.
When I was a teen, I worked as a waitress and saw how much people enjoyed being served and treated specially. As I grew older, I realized how much I enjoy it as well. That's why I take every opportunity to provide a good time for friends to relax and not worry about preparing dinner or paying for it at a nice restaurant. I go all out with my parties, starting with the appetizers and ending with coffee, cocktails, and desserts. I try to have most things prepared ahead of time so that my guests don't feel the need to offer assistance.
Speaker C.
We used to have barbecues a lot when we lived in a big house. All my brothers and sisters would invite their classmates along no matter whose birthday it was. We were always anticipating the event. Since then, I've always loved cooking, especially for family and friends. I'll cook anything, from Chinese to Italian, as long as I'm sure they will enjoy the food. Everything that I've learned to cook, I will show off immediately and call everybody up for the weekend lunch or dinner. Dinner parties are okay, but I don't like the formal sit-downs, because you can't feel at ease there.
Speaker D. Speaker E.
Whenever you hate doing something, look to the way you do it. I also dread having to go home and cook dinner when nothing is prepared, and I have to go through the fridge, plan and prepare and cook it all at one time. That's very hard to do. I like it when I have planned ahead and have most of the prep work done, so I only have to quickly mix something and cook it. That means I have big cooking days now and then, but I don't mind that either if I can start in a clean kitchen with nothing out on the counters.
Speaker F.
I can't imagine why anyone could hate cooking. Of course no one wants to cook every day. That's what restaurants and packaged food are for. But you will eat much better and be healthier if you're aware of what food is about. Cooking your own food is much cheaper than any other way of eating. Make a list of the things you like best. Get a good basic cookbook that explains what cooking terms mean. Look up recipes for the things you like and start with those. You'll find that by using different ingredients, you can get tasty food without much effort.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
I enjoy cooking because it is just me and my food. There is no one to argue with over what ingredients to use. I'm only stopped by my imagination. I just like making good food and having people appreciate it. It makes the house smell yummy, and it gets the family to gather around the table and enjoy the meal. I especially love it when they're smiling, which is a good sign. And if I'm feeling down, I either cook or bake something, and that makes me forget about my worries and makes me feel better.
Speaker B.
When I was a teen, I worked as a waitress and saw how much people enjoyed being served and treated especially. As I grew older, I realized how much I enjoy it as well. That's why I take every opportunity to provide a good time for friends to relax and not worry about preparing dinner or paying for it at a nice restaurant. I go all out with my parties, starting with the appetizers and ending with coffee, cocktails, and desserts. I try to have most things prepared ahead of time so that my guests don't feel the need to offer assistance.
Speaker C.
We used to have barbecues a lot when we lived in a big house. All my brothers and sisters would invite their classmates along no matter whose birthday it was. We were always anticipating the event. Since then, I've always loved cooking, especially for family and friends. I'll cook anything, from Chinese to Italian, as long as I'm sure they will enjoy the food. Everything that I've learned to cook, I will show off immediately and call everybody up for the weekend lunch or dinner. Dinner parties are okay, but I don't like the formal sit-downs because you can't feel at ease there.
Speaker D.
When I worked, I would get depressed just thinking about preparing the evening meal. Most women I know enjoy it. As for me, I'd rather have a bowl of cereal or make a sandwich than have to cook something. When I cook, I am full by the time it's done and I don't want to eat what I've cooked. To me, cooking is a monotonous, boring, mind-numbing chore and I'd rather do anything else. It also creates more mindless work. After cooking, you've got a lot of cleaning, and it takes up a lot of your time, too.
Speaker E.
Whenever you hate doing something, look to the way you do it. I also dread having to go home and cook dinner when nothing is prepared, and I have to go through the fridge, plan and prepare and cook it all at one time. That's very hard to do. I like it when I have planned ahead and have most of the prep work done, so I only have to quickly mix something and cook it. That means I have big cooking days now and then, but I don't mind that either if I can start in a clean kitchen with nothing out on the counters.
Speaker F.
I can't imagine why anyone could hate cooking. Of course no one wants to cook every day. That's what restaurants and packaged food are for. But you will eat much better and be healthier if you're aware of what food is about. Cooking your own food is much cheaper than any other way of eating. Make a list of the things you like best. Get a good basic cookbook that explains what cooking terms mean. Look up recipes for the things you like and start with those. You'll find that by using different ingredients, you can get tasty food without much effort.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений AG соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Scott. Haven't seen you for ages. What have you been doing all this time?
Actually, I am really busy at work. You know about the problem of rechargeable batteries that last less and less long after each recharge, don't you?
Yes. After a while, the battery has to be replaced, which is not ideal given how much they cost. Can you help it in any way?
We want to create the equivalent of an internal plaster for a battery. In a nutshell, we put things into batteries that make them perform much better and a lot safer. We would like batteries to last 10 years, but they don't, because of the charge and discharge cycling.
What's actually going on inside the battery as they age?
There are a lot of things happening. Probably the simplest way to explain it is that there are small cracks that open up inside the battery. So physically, particles are breaking and two layers of different materials are separating. And the result is that the battery can no longer give you the power that you need.
So your work is dedicated to stopping that decay?
Exactly. We're giving the battery a dose of medicine when it needs it. In other words, when little cracks open up, we put things in there that heal those cracks so your battery is like new.
So you are literally doping the electrodes with stuff so that if an area breaks, it repairs itself. This is, I suppose, like self-repairing car paints, where there are little capsules of various things, and when they get exposed by the paint being damaged, they heal the paint. Are you doing the same with batteries?
Exactly. In fact, we started with the very work that you're talking about. Self-healing coating. Self-healing paints. Self-healing polymers. The materials that we deliver to the batteries are of course completely different, but they also bridge the cracks.
I suppose you have to choose the composition of those materials very carefully so that they don't reduce the capacity of the battery.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever we put into the battery cannot disrupt its natural performance. What we do is give it additional functionality, such as self-healing behaviour.
And with this approach applied to the battery, how much longer can you extend its working life?
Well, I don't know the answer yet. It's still way too new and a little bit far away to be able to predict. My goal is to be able to extend the lifetime by 2, 3, or 4 times. If we did that, imagine how the economics of electric vehicles would change. We're not talking about replacing a battery pack every 3 or 4 years now. We're talking about one battery pack that could last the lifetime of the car, or even longer.
This will be a real breakthrough in the development of electric vehicles. I think it's time to think about buying an electric car for myself.
There's no need to hurry. We haven't finished our work yet. Oh, I am already late for work.
I wish you good luck.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hi, Scott. Haven't seen you for ages. What have you been doing all this time?
Actually, I am really busy at work. You know about the problem of rechargeable batteries that last less and less long after each recharge, don't you?
Yes. After a while, the battery has to be replaced, which is not ideal given how much they cost. Can you help it in any way?
We want to create the equivalent of an internal plaster for a battery. In a nutshell, we put things into batteries that make them perform much better and a lot safer. We would like batteries to last 10 years, but they don't, because of the charge and discharge cycling.
What's actually going on inside the battery as they age?
There are a lot of things happening. Probably the simplest way to explain it is that there are small cracks that open up inside the battery. So physically, particles are breaking and two layers of different materials are separating. And the result is that the battery can no longer give you the power that you need.
So your work is dedicated to stopping that decay?
Exactly. We're giving the battery a dose of medicine when it needs it. In other words, when little cracks open up, we put things in there that heal those cracks so your battery is like new.
So you are literally doping the electrodes with stuff so that if an area breaks, it repairs itself. This is, I suppose, like self-repairing car paints, where there are little capsules of various things, and when they get exposed by the paint being damaged, they heal the paint. Are you doing the same with batteries?
Exactly. In fact, we started with the very work that you're talking about. Self-healing coating. Self-healing paints. Self-healing polymers. The materials that we deliver to the batteries are of course completely different, but they also bridge the cracks.
I suppose you have to choose the composition of those materials very carefully so that they don't reduce the capacity of the battery.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever we put into the battery cannot disrupt its natural performance. What we do is give it additional functionality, such as self-healing behaviour.
And with this approach applied to the battery, how much longer can you extend its working life?
Well, I don't know the answer yet. It's still way too new and a little bit far away to be able to predict. My goal is to be able to extend the lifetime by 2, 3, or 4 times. If we did that, imagine how the economics of electric vehicles would change. We're not talking about replacing a battery pack every 3 or 4 years now. We're talking about one battery pack that could last the lifetime of the car, or even longer.
This will be a real breakthrough in the development of electric vehicles. I think it's time to think about buying an electric car for myself.
There's no need to hurry. We haven't finished our work yet. Oh, I am already late for work.
I wish you good luck.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите рассказ исследователя Жана Мишеля Кусто. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Well, one of the most exciting aspects of our new film, Dolphins and Whales, is that we are going to put a very large audience in the presence of creatures which represent, perhaps, the group of animals that are closest to the human species. We have a lot in common with them. We are warm-blooded, just like they are. We give birth the same way, and we are both very social. Sound is their primary sense, whereas ours is vision, so there is a little bit of difficulty in understanding each other. But their presence is something that is extremely exciting for the public, because I don't believe there has ever been any fear on the part of the public towards those animals. They are not aggressive at all. They are sometimes even curious about our presence when we are underwater. The entire show is underwater. The audience is going to be submerged in the presence of these creatures. And I think everybody will come out with a much better appreciation of their kindness and the importance of their role in the marine environment. The fact is that we are dealing with large creatures, such as the finbacks, which are the biggest creatures ever on the planet. Finbacks can be 7 to 8 times heavier than the largest and heaviest land animal, the male African elephant. They are even bigger than any dinosaur, which we still admire today, though none of them exist. Part of our message is that we are affecting the quality of life of these animals by using the ocean as a garbage can, when in fact we have everything to benefit by not doing that anymore. It's like polluting the air we breathe. So hopefully the public will come out of there having had a fabulous experience and a desire to protect these animals by stopping the mismanagement of marine resources, allowing our waste to end up in the ocean, which ultimately affects these extraordinary creatures. We know that atmospheric temperatures go up as a result of climate change. So do the ocean surface temperatures, impacting the habitats of large ocean mammals like the ones we see in the film. However, there is one piece of good news. They can move, they can change, they can relocate. They can be eating fish, and then they can start to eat other mammals like sea lions or harbour seals. Who knows, maybe one day some of them will even start to be vegetarians and eat plants just like we do. So I think they have a chance to survive in that environment much more than many other species. Whether they are crustaceans like crabs, lobsters and shrimp, or many different species of fish, we find a lot of resilience on their part. I'm not sure polar bears will make it. The effect it has had on human species, on the other hand, is completely different. We may have hundreds of millions of people who are going to be displaced because of the weather change, because of the sea level rise, because of the increase of hurricanes and storms. Where are they going to go, and what kind of infrastructure is going to be made available to those people in such a short period of time? So we are at a disadvantage on land. I think marine mammals will probably have a better chance than those of us who will have to relocate. You know, the ocean has been punished many times, which ultimately means that we have been punished many times. So we need to grow out of this. We will always make mistakes. Only people who do nothing don't make mistakes. But in this particular case, there are responsibilities, and there is a cost, and that cost should be paid. So let's be serious. Let's take care of it. Let's clean up the mess and go on with life and then try to not have this happen again.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Well, one of the most exciting aspects of our new film, Dolphins and Whales, is that we are going to put a very large audience in the presence of creatures which represent, perhaps, the group of animals that are closest to the human species. We have a lot in common with them. We are warm-blooded, just like they are. We give birth the same way, and we are both very social. Sound is their primary sense, whereas ours is vision. So there is a little bit of difficulty in understanding each other. But their presence is something that is extremely exciting for the public, because I don't believe there has ever been any fear on the part of the public towards those animals. They are not aggressive at all. They are sometimes even curious about our presence when we are underwater. The entire show is underwater. The audience is going to be submerged in the presence of these creatures. And I think everybody will come out with a much better appreciation of their kindness and the importance of their role in the marine environment. The fact is that we are dealing with large creatures, such as the finbacks, which are the biggest creatures ever on the planet. Finbacks can be 7 to 8 times heavier than the largest and heaviest land animal, the male African elephant. They are even bigger than any dinosaur, which we still admire today, though none of them exist. Part of our message is that we are affecting the quality of life of these animals by using the ocean as a garbage can, when in fact we have everything to benefit by not doing that anymore. It's like polluting the air we breathe. So hopefully the public will come out of there having had a fabulous experience and a desire to protect these animals by stopping the mismanagement of marine resources, allowing our waste to end up in the ocean, which ultimately affects these extraordinary creatures. We know that atmospheric temperatures go up as a result of climate change. So do the ocean surface temperatures, impacting the habitats of large ocean mammals like the ones we see in the film. However, there is one piece of good news. They can move, they can change, they can relocate. They can be eating fish, and then they can start to eat other mammals like sea lions or harbour seals. Who knows, maybe one day some of them will even start to be vegetarians and eat plants just like we do. So I think they have a chance to survive in that environment much more than many other species. Whether they are crustaceans like crabs, lobsters and shrimp, or many different species of fish, we find a lot of resilience on their part. I'm not sure polar bears will make it. The effect it has had on human species, on the other hand, is completely different. We may have hundreds of millions of people who are going to be displaced because of the weather change, because of the sea level rise, because of the increase of hurricanes and storms. Where are they going to go, and what kind of infrastructure is going to be made available to those people in such a short period of time? So we are at a disadvantage on land. I think marine mammals will probably have a better chance than those of us who will have to relocate. You know, the ocean has been punished many times, which ultimately means that we have been punished many times. So we need to grow out of this. We will always make mistakes. Only people who do nothing don't make mistakes. But in this particular case, there are responsibilities, and there is a cost, and that cost should be paid. So let's be serious. Let's take care of it. Let's clean up the mess and go on with life and then try to not have this happen again.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.